بالله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء فاتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، إن خير الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given us another opportunity to read from the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and try to understand what he says alayhi salatu wa salam, that we can act upon it inshallah. The hadith we'll read today inshallah is the 24th hadith in the Arba'un of Al-Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah. And that hadith, he says alayhi rahmatullah that an Abi Amr Wakila Abi Amrata Sufyan ibn Abdullah al-Thaqafi radiyallahu anhu qal qultu ya Rasulallah qul li fil Islam qawlan لا أسأل عنه أحدا غيرك. قال قل آمنت بالله ثم استقم. رواه مسلم. الإمام النووي placed the hadith in his book Al-Arba'un, and as we said, it is just one of the books of the Imam عليه رحمة الله. الإمام النووي is from those amongst the scholars of Islam who did not live so long, but Allah gave the opportunity to have, to keep behind them many beneficial works. Al-Imam al-Nawawi died at the age of 48, and he has over 12 books. Over 12. While some of the scholars count 20 of his works, and they are usually voluminous works. He has Sheikh of Sahih Muslim, he referred to as Al-Minhaj. في شرح صحيح مسلم ابن الحجاج in about 12 or 13 volumes. In some prints you have it in 18 volumes. He has مجموع شرح محذب, one of the most reliable books on مذهب شافعية, also printed in over 15 volumes, and very very other beneficial works. One of them is رياض الصالحين. Riyadh al-Salihin is a book that is hardly unknown by anyone who has ever had to learn anything about Islam. In about every masjid you go to, you find Riyadh al-Salihin. The muqaddimah of his tahqiq on Riyadh al-Salihin, Sheikh Ali Hassan Abdul Hamid al-Halabi, Hafizahullah, he said that if he says after the Book of Allah, the most popular book amongst the Muslims, that is available amongst them is Riyadh al-Salihin, he said he would not have been excessive. Now if one says after the Quran, the most available book amongst Muslims is Riyadh al-Salihin, he would not have gone too far to conclude as such. And this is from the symbols of acceptance by Allah. When Allah accepts something, he calls on to generations to accept it. It's as if nobody ever wrote anything except Riyadh al-Salihin. Allah gave his books acceptance. The same thing applies to this Arba'un that he complied. he compiled. Allah gave it acceptance. So popularly known amongst the people. As if no one wrote Arba'un before him. Meanwhile, he compiled his Arba'un, as he said, following some of those who had come before him amongst the scholars. From amongst them, Ibn al-Imam Ibn Mubarak, alayhi rahmatullah, is mentioned to be from the first of those who compiled the Arba'un. And then later, al-Imam al-Ajurri, alayhi rahmatullah, he also has Arba'un. And then Arba'un, Arba'un, Arba'un. But if we say Arba'un and just leave it like that, it will be as if nobody ever wrote Arba'un except al-Nawawi, alayhi rahmatullah. So Allah gave the book acceptance and a lot of blessings on the earth amongst people. So this hadith in his book is a very brief hadith, but it's filled with a lot of benefits. So he said, alayhi rahmatullah, that an Abi Amr, this hadith is reported from Abu Amr. This is the kunya of the companions. We said, and we repeated this many times, he has not placed any hadith here except that you mentioned that companion and his kunya, and that it is from the Sunan of the Muslims that had gone past. But many of the Muslims today leave that. They prefer to be called brother and sister. And for this companion, Sufyan ibn Abdullah al-Thaqafi, his kunya is Abu Amr. Abu Amr, not Abu Umar. That's why we have a wa after the ra, to differentiate between Umar and Amr. So he is Abu Amr, radiyallahu anhu. Then he said, Waqila Abi Amra. It is said that he is Abu Amra. When the scholars of hadith use this word or this kind of a presentation, Qila, they usually refer to something that is weak. It is referred to amongst them as figa to tamrid. That is a statement, an expression that indicates weakness, an expression of weakness. This is, he is Abu Amr. In other words, Qila, they say, some say, he is Abu Amr. But it implies that his actual kunya is Abu Amr. And Imam al-Nawawi, alayhi rahmatullah, is from amongst the scholars who are taking a lot of time to verify issues like this. Such that he has a whole book he has compiled on names and al-qab. It is names and kunah and al-qab. He compiled a book upon them. So if someone has a name like this, you go and verify it. What is really the name, or what is really the laqab, or what is really the kunya that the person has. But if you look at many of the books that have discussed the biography of the companions and the scholars who have reported the hadith, it is always like this. Abu Amr, Waqila Abu Amr. This. He is Abu Amr, but it is said that he is Abu Amr. So they make this, they mention this so that we will know that at least they say this. But what is correct is that he is Abu Amr that has been mentioned here. First, without a figure of a tamrid, without being followed with an expression that shows weakness. So that companion is Abu Amr. But his name is Sufyan ibn Abdullah. His name is Sufyan ibn Abdullah. Very recently I was talking to a brother. I said, one of what is getting observed among the Muslims is that people don't bear names like Sufyan, they don't bear names like Muawiyah. They don't bear names like this. Muawiyah. You hardly hear a Muslim there, Muawiyah. But you hear Ali, 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 Osman, Osman, Osman. And Muawiyah is from one of the most learned in Islam. He was from those who were the scribes to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. They wrote revelation. Muawiyah wrote revelation for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he does not have any other fadl, like the Imam al-Nasa'i said alayhi wa sallam, if Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan does not have any other fadl except that he wrote wahy for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it suffices him. It's happy for him. So, but today people say, oh, there was crisis at the time. Anna Mabak. All those people have been forgiven of all those things you are talking about, like Aisha radiallahu anha. You are the ones discussing who fall into the fitna of it. They have been forgiven of it. So if that make you have something in your mind against Muawiyah, that it is your own problem. After Muawiyah does not have problems, because he is from the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, and he died upon Islam, and as one of the Khulafa, one of the A'imma amongst the Muslims. So whether there was a problem or there was not a problem, it's your own problem. And forever, since he died till today and forever, each time we pray for the companions of the Prophet, we are also praying for Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan. So the same thing applies to the word Sufyan or Abu Sufyan. It's usually strange amongst the Muslims today to bear these names. So there is nothing that is unfashionable, so to speak, about those names, Sufyan. And some of the greatest men among the scholars of Hadith have borne that name, Sufyan. Some amongst them is Al-Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna, alayhi rahmatullah. And then Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, Abu Abdullah, Amirul Mu'mineen of Al-Hadith. The first person to be called Amirul Mu'mineen of Al-Hadith was Sufyan al-Thawri, alayhi rahmatullah. And he is Sufyan. So the name should be borne. It does not have any problem at all. So another companion who had that name, though he in his own case it was a kunya, was Abu Sufyan. He was a Muslim, he died upon Islam, which is the father of Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan. Well respected by the Prophet Muhammad. So Sufyan does not have any problem, Muawiyah does not have any problem. Those people, they were from the best of human beings that ever existed. If we remember while we read Usul Sunnah, Al-Imam Ahmad alayhi rahmatullah said, I will just paraphrase that, the best brother is still lower in rank before Allah than the least person amongst the companions of the Prophet. The least person amongst the companions is still higher in rank than the best human being that is not a companion. The least in rank amongst the companions is better than the best person in Ibadah, in the sight of Allah, in terms of their rank. So to have accompanied the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam itself is a problem, is a blessing. So all these people that we have mentioned, regarding whom people have problems with, that they have not done anything except that they were in the companionship of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's a crisis for them as eminent individuals. Let's not know any other thing apart from them, aside that they were companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's okay for them. So this companion who has reported this hadith, his name is Sufyan ibn Abdullah al-Thaqafi. He is from Banu Thaqif in Ta'if. Banu Thaqif, their root is from Ta'if. And at the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, Sufyan ibn Abdullah was appointed as one of the ummal for Ta'if. That is one of those who collected zakah for Ta'if. At that time, those Muslims who go to collect zakah are usually knowledgeable people. Nobody goes to a place to stay there to collect zakah except the eminence amongst the companions in terms of knowledge. And that's why we have seen him that he is from amongst those who is dealing with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a dealing of ilm. He's a dealing of knowledge. He was asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we shall see in this hadith, he says, Ya Rasulallah, kulli fil Islam. قَوْلًا لَا أَفْعَلُ عَنْهُ أَحْدًا غَيْرَكَ. Tell me something about Islam, regarding which I will never ask anyone aside you. I will not need to ask anybody. Just give me the key. So don't be surprised that in the end, at the time of Umar, he was one of the ummal to collect zakah. Because, and what's come up with the companions? Each of them that you see the Prophet say anything special to as a person, you see that at the end you find him upon that thing. The companions radiallahu anhum, any one of them regarding whom the Prophet said something to directly, in the end you see him on that. So it meant that their knowledge upon which of which they thought was a knowledge to be practiced and not a knowledge to be heard and played away with. So the knowledge they thought to put into practice, radiallahu anhum. So this companion is Sufyan ibn Abdullah al-Thaqafi, radiallahu anhu. Qala, he said, Qultu ya Rasulallah, I said, O Messenger of Allah, قل لي في الإسلام قولا لا أسأل عنه أحدا غيرك. Tell me something about the Sharia of Islam. لا أسأل عنه أحدا غيرك. I will not need to ask anyone aside you. Give me the key to success. The riwayah of Al-Imam Al-Tirmidhi alayhi rahmatullah. He says, حدثني بأمر أعتصم به. Tell me something that I'm going to grab. I'm going to stick to. I'm going to have to grab. Tell me something that I have to grab and stay upon. So of all of Islam, look at the whole of the Quran, look at the Hadith. Just tell me something that's the key. And when I grab it, I have grabbed it. And I will not need to ask anyone aside you. So this makes us understand that the question he is asking is an important question. And the one who is asking the question is one who has health, zeal towards two things. The first of it, knowledge. And the second of it, to attain the benefit that knowledge brings, which is what? Action. So two things, knowledge and action. So tell me something I will not need to ask anybody. So someone comes to me and says, look, tell me something that if you tell me, I will not need to ask anybody. You see, you take that question that is very, very, very important. Something that I can tell you that I know you no need to ask anybody. And from what Allah has blessed the Prophet with alayhi salatu wasalam is the kind of thing he has asked. Something simple but all encompassing. Jawami ul Kalim. The Prophet is alayhi salatu wasalam raised with Jawami ul Kalim. Simple expression, comprehensive entailment. Simple words, but contain so many things. We try to say in this hadith. Simple words, but everything is inside those words. And this is what this companion is asking from the Prophet. He said, "Kun li fil Islam qawlan la as'alu anhu ahdan ghayrak." Give me a brief word about Islam, and I will not need to ask anyone. I will grab it. And he said, alayhi salatu. Qul amantu billahi thumma istaqim. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu. Qul amantu billahi thumma istaqim. The Prophet said, say, amantu billah. I believe in Allah. Thumma istaqim. He said to him, and then you should be steadfast. Say, آمنت بالله ثم استقم. Say, I believe in Allah, and then you should be steadfast. So how does these two words contain all of Islam? Well, he said, قل آمنت بالله. What iman, what قول بالإيمان will be beneficial? How can saying iman, saying I believe in Allah, be beneficial? Because saying amantu billah without اقرار بالقلب لا يفيد القائل. Saying I believe in Allah without affirming it in the heart, it does not benefit the one who has said it. Allah mentioned about some people now. He says, الَّذِينَ قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَلَمْ يُؤْمِنْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. So don't be like, don't mind those people. مِنَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ. Those who will say, we believe in Allah. وَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. But their hearts do not believe. Well, in the Quran, he says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. So saying amantu billah does not bring any benefit except that the iman is one from the heart. The munafiqun even swore to that. He says, إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ. He says, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. The munafiqun will come to you, say, well, we testify that we believe in Allah. says, Allahu ya'lamu innaka la rasuluh. Allah knows that you are his messenger. Wallahu yashhadu innal munafiqina lakadhibun. Allah also affirms that surely, certainly, these hypocrites are liars. So it meant that to say iman, amantu billah, to say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, does not suffice until one actually also makes iqrar with his qalb, affirms what he says. So kul amantu billah here is, let your tongue express what the heart affirms. So when Prophet said to him, alayhi salatu, kul amantu billah, that is, affirm, express with your tongue what your heart affirms. Because that is what will benefit the person in question. So that is what the Prophet was saying to him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Say with your tongue what your heart affirms. So he's saying, summa speaking, now goes to the jawarish, the limbs of the body, the steadfast. So that is act upon that iman. So this statement, kul amantu billah, contains the three areas where iman reflects. It contains iman of the heart, it contains the iman that of the tongue, and it contains iman that of the limbs. These key words contains iman in all of these places, in the heart, on the tongue, and what we see of the limbs. You know, Allah described our salah also as iman. He says, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُذِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. So إِيمَانَكُمْ بِالْإِجْمَالِ إِمَامُ الْبَيْحَكِ عَلَيْهِ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ. He says, أَجْمَعُ. The scholars have a consensus that إِيمَانَكُمْ هِيَا صَلَاتَكُمْ. Your salah. So from our salah, from our iman, are those things we act upon. So these words explain that iman is of the heart, is of the tongue, and of the limbs. So when he says amantu billah, it means he has to affirm iman, affirming iman in Allah's rububiyyah, the fact that Allah is the Rabb, the one who creates, the one who sustains, the one who provides, the one who will kill, the one who will resurrect, and all of what rububiyyah entails, including the fact that the one who gives takdirat, because he does not only create, he says, وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ وَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. So that also goes to discuss his qadr, that it is Allah that has preordained everything. So from imanu billah is an iman bil qadr also, and like we said, that it is Allah who will resurrect. From iman billah is also iman bi yawmil akhir, subhanahu wa ta'ala. From iman billah, we say Allah created everything, and he told us that he is ja'ilul malaikata rusulan uli ja'ilul malaikata rusulan uli ajnihatin. He created the angels and made them to have wings, 2, 3, 4, and all of that. So it means that al-iman bil-malaika is also from the rububiyyah. So what is left? The rusul. Who sent the anbiya and the rusul? Of course, there is no iman, there is no uluhiyya, except that one has a rasul that one is following. There is no giving servitude to Allah except following a messenger. If one gives charity to Allah, not following a messenger thereby, is just wasting his time. So kul amantu billah contains iman in all of the articles of iman. And you see that they are just connected to themselves like that. They are just connected to themselves like that. And that's why sometimes when the ulama do something, it really requires that one begins to think why they have done this thing. To think deeply before one contradicts what they have done or said. When the ulama categorized Tawheed al-Hakimiyya under Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, some people wanted to say that people are kuffar. In fact, they said that people are kuffar because they classified Tawheed al-Hakimiyya under Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. But you find out that from what necessitates from the necessity, that is from the child, that Tawheed al-Rububiyyah gives birth to, that you are going to find Tawheed al-Hakimiyyah in it too. The fact that Allah is one in charge of, Allah is the one who is the lawgiver, sole lawgiver. And aside from him, no one gives law and should give law. Because aside from him, no one created and should create or can create. So it is the one who has created that will give his creation laws. Of course, he gave them laws that they cannot change. And those are the laws of existence. So when I came and started asking that, if someone started to teach that, you know, the water cycle, that water is evaporated, it condenses, it falls as rain, that isn't that from kufr? I say it's not from kufr. Because he says, وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. He created everything and placed them, give them limits. So that is its own limit that it has given to it. Like he said, لَشَمْسُ يَنْبَغِي لَهَانْتُ ذِرِكَ الْقَمَرْ وَلَلَيْلِ سَالِكُ النَّهَارِ كُلُّهُ فِي فَلَكٍ يَدْرَهُ. The sun has been created to be in its own axis. It will not change. It should not go out of it. If it goes out of it, there is trouble. He said it should remain like that. So for water, that is what he has created. That water, you will be doing like this and remain like that. Carbon fogs, that you will be going like this in this circle and remain like that. Nitrogen fogs, that you will be going like this and remain like that. These are the takdirat of Allah. There is no any shirk in it. It is Allah that has destined that those things should preordained also, that those things should be like that. And they will not change. Even in we the human beings, there are some of these takdirat in us. The eyes and how it sees, who has destined that that is how it should be seen? The retina will always be doing one job that it's meant to do. The ears is doing the job that it's meant to do. Why don't the ears see when people lose their sight? They bring their ears to the front so that the ears can see. Allah, this is the takbir of Allah, it will not change. Yeah, the takbir, how we reason, Allah has placed it like that. Let it be like that. So the one that is regarding which he gave us ikhtiyarat are his laws, regarding which he gave us choice. So he sent and yeah, follow it if you like. If you like, don't follow it and face the consequences. So these things are not things regarding which people should contradict the ulama. Why have they categorized Tawheed al-Hakimiyyah under Tawheed al-Rububiyyah? Because they are all from the Takdirat of Allah. They are all from connected to the Rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Besides other things that have been said about the connection between Rububiyyah and Hakimiyyah in the past. So this statement from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to this eminent companion Sufyan ibn Abdullah al-Thaqafi is making us understand that firstly one has to have iman. Without iman, actions are also useless. So that was why he said summa staqim. That is thereafter, after iman is established, after belief, then actions are accepted. Without the right iman, there is no acceptance of actions. So one truly, if a Christian comes now and starts praying, comes to salawat, like they used to do in some parts of Nigeria, they will go to Eid. They say they want to pray salat to Eid, Eidain, or Juma, as the case may be, with Muslims, so as to bring themselves close. They are just wasting their time. There is no salat. So someone asks, what is the evidence? They say, Aman to Billah, the Prophet said, alayhi salam. Aman to Billah, summa staqim. So from istiqamah is to perform salah. From istiqamah is to perform zakah. All of these deeds are deeds of being on the sirat al-mustaqim. So when there is no iman, they don't have any value. So the one who is performing it. What will make the one who performs all these deeds to be rewarded for it is his iman first. And then salah to become useful to him. He'll get the reward for salah. He'll get the reward for sadaqah. He'll get the reward for zakah. He'll get the reward for all of those things that he does. But there is no reward for it. So the Prophet said to him, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, Amantu billah. Say, Amantu billah. So must have. Then be steadfast. If the karma is remaining upon the right path, someone remains on Sirat al-Mustaqim. No excess and no reduction. If reduction can be accommodated, excessiveness cannot be accommodated. in Surah Al-Hud, Allah told Prophet Muhammad, says, وَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ وَلَا تَطْغَوْا. So no gulur. He says, وَاسْتَقِمْ, be steadfast, O Muhammad. It's an order. In this verse, there are three orders to the Prophet Muhammad. He says, وَاسْتَقِمْ, be steadfast, O Muhammad. كَمَا أُمِرْتَ, as he has been ordered. Two orders. وَاسْتَقِمْ is an order. كَمَا أُمِرْتَ, don't forget, he has been given that order before. وَلَا تَطْغَوْا, this is the third order. You don't be excess. He says, وَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ. So this includes all of us. All of those who have left shirk, who are on the path of the Prophet Muhammad, it is obligatory upon every one of us to remain firm, to remain upon Allah's deen, within the limits that we have been given. No one should be in the excess. So he says, وَلَا تَطْغَوْا, don't go to extremes. When you deal with people, they are non-Muslims, don't go to extremes. Don't do what you have not been told to do. The same thing he told Ahlul Kitab. So, ya Ahlul Kitab, la taglu fi dinikum. So here he says to we, first to our messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then to us, وَلَا تَطْغَوْا, do not go excess. Don't exceed the bounds. This is istiqamah. Istiqamah, maintaining the limits and being upon it. From that is that there is no innovation. So it says, مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَوَرَتُ. No excessiveness. مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَرَتُ. So from istiqamah is not to just be doing anything. Ah, we want to keep faith. Istiqamah is remaining upon revelation in all our engagements. Remembering us all times. So I said, inadequacies could be tolerated. Inadequacies could be tolerated. But excessiveness is not tolerated at all. He says, فَاسْتَقِيمُوا إِلَيْهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا. فَاسْتَقِيمُوا إِلَيْهِ, be firm, be steadfast upon the right path, upon Allah's deen, for Allah. وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا. When you fall short, seek forgiveness from Allah. So falling short can be accommodated, but excess cannot be accommodated. He says, فَاسْتَقِيمُوا إِلَيْهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا. Be steadfast upon Allah's deen. وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا. When you fall short, seek Allah's forgiveness. He says, وَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ. But regarding excessiveness, وَلَا تَطْغَوْا. وَاسْتَقِيمُوا كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ وَلَا تَطْغَوْا. إِنَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. When you go excess, I see you. So in the Sharia, excessiveness is not tolerated at all. And there is nothing that one brings from excessiveness affiliating it to Islam, except that Islam is away from it. Islam is free from it. He says, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا. It's from excessiveness. So whoever does any deed which does not have our authority, it will be rejected. مَنْ أَعْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ. So excessiveness, bringing other things into it, is not accepted. But someone could say, he could have shortcomings. فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا, seek Allah's forgiveness. So this is from istiqamah. Regarding our salah, regarding our zakah, regarding our siyam, regarding our nawafil, we must be mustaqimun in it. And one of the scholars was saying that today, these days, when someone is someone who is upon Islam, not waving here and there, they say he is mu'tazim, someone who has iltizam with sunnah. So this kalima is an innovative word. What we should use for such people is mustaqim. Because that is what you find in the Quran and Sunnah, not mu'tazim. It's common in the Arab world, say mu'tazim. That is someone who is strict upon the Sunnah. He says mu'tazim. He says no, they should not say mu'tazim. They should say mustaqim. And that is what Allah has ordered us to be. He says, وَاسْتَقِيمُوا إِلَيْهِ. سيدنا الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا فتنزل عليهم الملائكة. This is what we have been ordered. الذين قالوا ربنا الله. You see, our Lord is Allah. That is like saying قل آمنت بالله ثم استقاموا ثم استقيم. So these two aspects are very important. So you see, amanti billah takes care of all the aspects of belief, and istiqamah takes all the aspects of what? Actions. So when he said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell me something, a'tasimu bi, hadith me bi shay'in a'tasimu bi, you see what the Prophet said to him. Simple words filled with what? Values and benefits. So his companion Abu Amr Sufyan ibn Abdullah said, Qultu ya Rasulallah, I said, O Messenger of Allah, Kul li fil Islam qawlan la as'alu anhu ahadan ghayrak. Tell me something in the Sharia of Islam that I will not need to ask anyone outside you, O Messenger of Allah. And he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Kul amantu billahi thumma astaqim. Say, that is, express what you affirm in your heart as far as iman is concerned. Express it, say it with your tongue. So that's why the ulama say that it is not correct for somebody to say he believes in his heart but he will not say it out with his tongue. This is from the evidence that he is wrong. He believes in his heart but his tongue will not express that heart belief. It is wrong. That is like being like Firaun. Firaun knew Allah. He recognized the fact that Allah sent Musa alayhi salam. He recognized the fact that Allah made creation and all of this. But he refused to say it. And the time he was saying it, it was late. The time he wanted to express it, then kul, he wants to act upon this kul, say, it was late. When he said it, when Jibril alayhi salam rushed down to the bed of the sea and flooded his mouth, filled his mouth with the sand, he told the Prophet Muhammad, you see how I rushed that day to fill his mouth so that he does not repeat that statement again. He had Allah forgive him. He rushed there and filled his mouth with mud so that he does not repeat it again. So saying, expressing the kalimat of iman is from iman. To say la ilaha illallah with our mouth is from iman. To say it is from iman. And not to say it is from the aspects of shirk and nifaq. Not to express the kalima of tawheed, the kalima of iman on our tongue is from the aspects of kufr and nifaq. Not saying it with the heart. The same thing the Jews. There is one kisah in Ishaq's tariq that before the Prophet was raised, alayhi salatu wasalam, you know the Jews were living in Medina. In fact, they came to Medina before Al-Aus and Khazraj. The Jews were in Medina first. They also met people there and they displaced them. It was reported that Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam sent them to displace those people and stay there. Some of the scholars say it was the Amalika who were there. Allahu Alam. They were there and the Jews came to me, and the Aus and the Khazraj, they were in Yemen because they are from the descendants of Saba in Yemen. You know that case in Surah Saba. لَقَدْ كَانَ لِسَبَئٍ فِي مَسْكَنِهِمْ آيَةٍ جَنَّتَانِ أَيَّمِينِ وَشِمَالٍ. You know the case. So Allah says, وَمَزَّقْنَاهُمْ كُلَّ مُمَزَّقٍ كُلَّ مُمَزَّقٍ وَمَزَّقْنَاهُمْ. How does he say it? He says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لِسَبَئٍ فِي مَسْكَنِهِمْ آيَةٍ جَنَّتَانِ أَيَّمِينٍ وَشِمَالٍ كُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِ رَبِّكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لَهُ بَلْدَةٌ طَيِّبَةٌ وَرَبٌّ غَفُورٌ فَأَعْرَضُوا فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ سَيْلَ الْعَرْمِ وَبَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جَنَّتَيْهِمْ ذَوَاتَيْ أَكْلٍ خَمْطٍ وَأَصْلٍ وَشَيْءٍ مِنْ سِدْرٍ قَلِيلٍ ذَلِكَ جَزَيْنَاهُمْ بِمَا كَفَرُوا فَهَلْ نُجَازِي إِلَّا الْكَفُورُ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَ الْقُرَى الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا قُرًى ظَاهِرَةً وَقَدَّرْنَا فِيهَا السَّيْرَ سِيرُوا فِيهَا لَيَالِيَ وَأَيَّامًا آمِنِينَ. وقالوا ربنا باعد بين عصائنا وظلموا أنفسنا فجعلناهم أحاديث ومزقناهم كل ممزق. فالله says ومزقناهم كل ممزق. We scattered them everywhere. So these tribes of Saba, they were scattered on the earth. So Aus and the Khazraj, they were said to be certain tribes. The Aus and the Khazraj, they went to Medina as they were just moving on the same Saba. They met the Jews there and said, hey, let's stay here. So they allowed them to stay there in Medina and the outskirts. So Mahalu Shahid, it was said that the Jews used to tell the Muslims when they went to Mecca to trade, or the Aus and the Khazraj, that you Arabs, Allah will soon raise a messenger amongst you. Allah will soon raise a messenger amongst you. So the one who was reporting it said, they used to hear at that time that the Jews used to say, Allah will soon send a messenger from amongst you. But when the messenger came, they refused to believe in him. Despite the fact that they recognized the fact that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is Nabi and Rasul of Allah, but they refused. So this shows the importance of uttering the words of Iman. Despite recognizing that in their hearts, and those who say amongst the Muslims that it suffices for Iman, recognition, its recognition in the heart, they are the Karramiyyah. And Imam Ahmad Muhammad has made takfir of them, that they are kuffar. Those who say that Iman is al-i'tiraf bil qalb, just know that yes, Allah is i'tiraf. No saying, no acting upon. He said they are the Karramiyyah. They are not in the history of Islam. Imam Ahmad Muhammad, many of the scholars describe them kuffar. It does not suffice for some people to say, I know Allah in my heart. My Iman is in my heart. Some Muslims begin to say that now, that my Islam is inside my heart. No, your tongue too must say Iman, and your limbs too must act upon Iman. If you limit it to your heart, then you run into trouble. You run into the trouble we spoke about, the Karramiyyu, or the Karramiyyah. So this is what the Muslim must do. His Iman, he must say it with his mouth. And he must act upon the Iman. And he must affirm what he is saying and acting upon in his heart. So when he says, Kul amantu billah, he does not suffice there alone. That is, express what you affirm in your heart, summa stakim, act upon it. This word, this hadith, entails all of Islam. Because all of Islam are i'tiqadat and a'mal, beliefs and actions. So Kul amantu billah discusses the aspects of belief. Was talking, summa talking, discusses the aspects of action. And this hadith has been reported with this wording by Al-Imam Muslim, alayhi rahmatullah. Others too have reported it, like Al-Imam Muslim, the Imam al-Nasa'i, and others. But the wording that Al-Imam al-Nawawi has employed in his book is that of Al-Imam Muslim ibn Hajjaj Abu al-Hasan, rahimahullah. This is a brief explanation, inshallah, that we can give as far as this hadith is concerned. If there are 1, 2, 3 questions, we'll attempt to give responses to, inshallah. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Taqwa Hahuna is just telling us one of the places of Taqwa. That Taqwa is here. It says, فَأَشَارَ إِلَىٰ فَضْرِهِ. And he placed, he pointed to his chest, saying that Taqwa Hahuna. I think it's one of the ahadith we'll read here, inshallah. Perhaps at that time we'll give some more detailed explanation. But Taqwa Hahuna shows the member of Taqwa, its source, its root. Where does it take root? The heart. So it shows the importance of the heart. So that's why he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, inna fil jasadi mudga, iza falahat, falahal jasadi kulli, wa iza fasadat. So that's a taqwa. The same chest he points to. So it shows the importance of the heart. It controls everything a person does. Good, you see the source is from his heart. evil is sourced from his heart. And when he commits good, the influence goes back into the heart. If he commits a sin, the impact also goes back to the heart. He said that in another hadith, the hadith of Abu Huraira, where he explained the word that Allah bal harana ala qulubihim ma kanu yaksibun. He said the child of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Imam al-Nasa'i reported the hadith, that when he sins, if he commits a sin, Allah causes a black dot to be placed on his heart. See, sinning is an act of what? Disobedience. And when he seeks forgiveness or repent, Allah orders the black dot to be cleaned off. So you see, another action of the limb is also being impacted upon the heart. Do you understand? When he sins, black dot. When he repented, the black dot is cleaned off. So in both cases, the heart is impacted. Allahu alam. Alaykum as-salam.
Is there any time that
they were mustad'afuna min al-rijali wa al-nisaa wa al-wildan. They didn't keep it in their heart. This verse is specification. It says, الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَ. They were saying it. They are not Muslims, we are not known. From them was Lubaba, the mother of Abdullah, bint Haris ibn Abbas. And Abdullah himself, ibn Abbas. They were both from the mustad'afin. In الرجال والنساء والولدان. What followed that? الذين يقولون. So they said iman, but they acted within the limits of their circumstances. And some of them actually left later. So he said in الرجال. Some of them went to meet Abu Basir. After the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, some of them went to meet Abu Basir at the place where he was, because Abu Basir is the companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was arrested after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. He left Makkah for Medina. You know, from the treaty is that every man who comes must be returned. They, Allah caused them to err. What they said in the treaty is every rija, every rajul. But so when the women came, they wanted to take the prayer. The women were not there. So that's why Allah says, Ya ayyuha an-nabi, idha ja'aka al-mu'minati yubayyi'naka ala an la yushrikna billahi. No, this is not what I want. Muhajirat, famtahinuhunna, before that. Illa al-kuffar. Ya ayyuha an-nabi, idha ja'akum al-mu'minati muhajiratin famtahinuhunna. So when they came, it was at the time the treaty was being made. They left Makkah, they were going to Medina. They met the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Suhail said, oh, Muhammad, I have sent them back to Makkah. Say, Allah. He said, Rijal. Men. So those women were taken to Medina. Some of the Muslims married from amongst them. Married from amongst those women on the spot. The rest of them were returned to Medina. So the women were not involved, but they still held them hostage there. Okay. The men who Allah gave the ability, when Abu Basir came to Medina, they came to Medina and told the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Abu Basir has run down, send him back to us, send two people. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Abu Basir, go back with them. Abu Basir was saying, after I have managed to come here, the Prophet said, go back to Mecca. He went back with them, with those two people who came to take him. So when they got to the road, he saw the sword of one of them. He said, this is your sword, knife. He said, I even use it to kill someone. He said, let me see. So as he gave Abu Basir the sword, the one that gave him the sword was the one he killed first with the sword. The second one ran back to Medina. Hey, come on, see Abu Basir. So Abu Basir radiallahu anhu went back to Medina. When now the man ran into the Prophet's masjid, the mushrik, came from Makkah. Jibreel said, the man has seen something that scares him. Because he ran into the masjid. What happened is Abu Bakr. He has killed one of us. If he got me, he would have killed him. So while that was on, Abu Bakr himself came into the masjid. Jibreel said, what happened? He said, your treaty with them, you have fulfilled it. Now I'm the one who come on my own. So there's no treaty again. The Prophet said, don't start a trouble that you cannot end. Go back. He left and felt that his deen was in danger if he returned, and his life, of course, was in danger if he returned to Makkah. Instead of returning to Makkah, he returned to the beach, the edge of the Red Sea. He returned to the edge of the Red Sea. He did not return to Makkah, Abu Bakr. Don't forget, he had one nice sword with him. He returned to that place. And many of the people from Medina, Mahal Shahid, from Makkah, from amongst the men who heard about Abu Bakr and that he was at the edge of the Red Sea, they came to meet him there. What they did was that, because that was the road the people of Makkah used to follow to Sham. Just watch the map. Once you go out of Makkah to the edge of the Red Sea, you go straight to Sham. Ancient Syria. So they became, when Quraysh and their, you know, trade caravans passed through the area, they stopped them and collected their property. So those people run back to Makkah. So they were scared, you know, the people. All their concern is, he says, Inna ha'ula yuhibbuna al-ajila wa yadharuna wara'ahum yawman thaqila. All their only concern is the benefit of this world, economic benefit. So, it was from that they came back to the Prophet Muhammad. Let's review this thing. Please, we have some people who are disturbing our trade caravans. And they begged the Prophet that you should allow them to come to Medina. They are not part of the treaty. Those people on the road, let them come back, all of them back. Those people, it is not as if they were not showing iman. In their actions, they showed iman to the extent of their ability. Those who had the ability to show the iman and say, look, if you want to try me, come. There are some of them. Those who could not, too, they were there. As far as showing it in terms of their actions, we are concerned. But in terms of saying it, Allah said, Yaqulun, all of them, they were saying it to their heart, with their tongue, what they had found in their heart of iman. So it is not evidence to say that they are not expressing, they only believe in their heart alone. So no one should say, oh, my iman is only in my heart. My religion is in my heart. Christians, foolish people, they say that, yes, they are foolish people. Their religion is in my heart. It's a thing of the heart. This statement is a statement of speaking. Belief, faith, religion, deen, worship is a thing of the heart, the tongue, and the limb. So he says, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. Totally. One caste will come and say, no, don't worry, now religion is a thing of the heart. Some modern day Muslims now who think that they are educated people, they start saying, no, Ustaz, you know these things, they are a thing of the heart. Leave your beer, they say it is heart. The one who told you to leave your beer, he does not know your heart. Or as you are saying that it's a thing of the heart, he does not know that you are lying, that you know that it's not a thing of the heart. The same person goes to the masjid to pray. Why are you praying? Don't pray. Don't pray so that the iman remains in the heart. So Islam, iman, Islam, all of these, they are issues of the heart, the tongue, and the limbs. Alaykum. I don't know anything wrong about it. It's like Saleh. Someone who is steadfast and haq. Sime. Mustaqima. I don't know anything that's wrong about it. It's like the name Saleh. Saleh means someone who is pious. So, Allahu Alaihi. Alaykum salam. Says, what is the meaning of Hakimiyya? Hakimiyya is giving laws. To give laws. You know, there is law There is a law that in the Sharia of Islam, for example, if somebody commits zina, if the person has not married, he will be flogged. If the person is a muhsin or muhsina, that is someone who has married, has a wife before ever in his life, then the person commits zina, you or she will be stoned to death. This law that we should stone them to death, it is Allah that placed it on the ground. It is Allah that prescribed it, that established it. So this right to establish that law is called hakimiyya. So if a person steals something that is up to 4 dinar, his hands, the nisab of saq, the hands should be cut. So if someone says no, the hand should not be cut, he's contesting hakimiyya with Allah. That he gave that law is from his hakimiyya. The right to give laws, the right to make laws. So we stop here, inshallah. Thank Allah. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.